Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the truth of the Word of God. I never take it lightly, and it's an honor to preach the truth of the Word of God. And so, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 2 Samuel, if you would. I was able to dodge all the preachers before me in the passage that I'm going to. And, you know, I knew it would probably have been a little safer just to go to the theme, because usually that is not preached. And then Brother Sam took that last night, so the Lord just solidified once again where I needed to be, and especially the message that was just preached, talking about when God gives you the message and you have complete assurance that you know that that's the message. If it's not for anyone else, it's for me even. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to preach. And so I also am mindful of the time, because to preach right before lunch, one preacher just said it earlier. He said the only worst thing is trying to preach after lunch. And we will get right into it this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 6, would you please stand as we read the text together? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 1. The Word of God says this: "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal-El of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. And there was in Gibeah, in Uzzah, in Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord, and on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called that name of that place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you so much for the truth of the Word of God. I pray as we look into it this morning, you would help us to understand the truths therein. And as I preach what I believe you've given me to preach, Lord, I pray that we would get some truths from the Word of God, how we can better serve you as servants of the Lord. So I pray that you'd be in this service, in this short time that we have together around your Word once again. We thank you so much for the messages this morning. I pray that they'd be a help to our ministries as we go back to serve you even with greater zeal and desire, faint yet pursuing, Lord. And so I thank you so much for what's already been accomplished. We pray that you'd be honored and glorified by the reading and now the preaching of your word, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, sometimes things can be going so well, then something happens. You get the call, the text, an email. You hear the words and you hear the news of that text or that call. We saw that in a video the other night. And you get that word, and everything changes in your life. Your attitude before this, the Lord is so good, everything's going great, and then something happens, and then there's worries, doubts, fears, concern, questions. Did I make the right decision? Did I go the right direction? What was I thinking? Why did I do this? If I had only done this, or I'd only done that. Look at verse number 5 again in our text. "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord with all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals." So the Bible talks about here that they were playing before the Lord. There was joy, there was excitement because of what was taking place. The ark of God was going to come back to the place where it was set up. They were going to have the presence of God, a symbol of the power of God back in their life. And The Bible says that they played before the Lord. That means they were laughing, they were making merry, they were rejoicing. But look at verse number 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" The word afraid means to fear or to frighten or to put into fear. Two words in that verse that really stuck out to me, and it got me to do a study a little bit about it. And I'm not going to go into all the passages of Scripture that talk about it or that bring up this phrase or these two words. But the Bible says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. And the two words that stuck out to me were that day. You know what, as I thought about it in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." That was a day of shouting. That was a day of victory. That was a day of a blessing in the life of David. A day that David would never forget. But then you come to this passage, and here's another day that David's never going to forget. I think of the day that he stood before the Goliath, and he said, "This day, God's going to deliver you into our hands." It was this day, and there's this days in ministry, and there's that days in ministry, and there's those days that you want to forget. There's those days that you look back and you remember the goodness of God. This day was going to be different in the lives of all of these people and in the life of David. This morning I want to preach a message from this passage entitled, "What a Difference a Day Can Make." What a difference a day can make. Everything can be going well, then that day comes and changes everything. Sometimes that day is brought on because of our own choices. Sometimes that day is brought on by the choices of someone else. But we've all had those days. We've all had those events take place in our life. David is trying to do a good thing. It doesn't turn out the way he has planned, though. I want you to understand, though, that David has the right intentions. He wants the presence of God in his life. He wants this symbol of the presence of God in his life. He wants the power of God in his life. And I don't think there's any preacher in here that would say, "I don't want the presence of God. I don't want the power of God." You have good intentions when you get up in the pulpit and you preach the truth of the Word of God. But we cannot do it without the power of God. We cannot do it without the presence of God. And so David has good intentions. David also has the right instructions. He could go back to the truth of the Word of God and know how to carry the ark of God. And he should have went back to the Word of God. He should have inquired at the Lord, like we heard about in our first message, on how to do this, when to do this, and go about it the right way. So David has the right intentions. He has the right instructions. But David followed the wrong influence. Because the Bible says in verse number 3, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart." And at the end of verse 4, or verse 3, "and drave the new cart." So where did they get this idea? I'm not going to take you for sake of time there, but the Bible talks about when the Philistines had got the ark of God, that they put it upon a new cart. And they put it upon a new cart because they thought, "Hey, we're going to have a special place for this." I don't know why they did that. But David, when they are getting the ark of God back, where did they get their influence from? Well, let's give God a new cart. Let's give him a place that, and that's a message all its own if we had time to go there. But, you know, he has followed the wrong influence. So because of this, the Bible talks about Uzzah and how that he touches the ark because the oxen stumble and he dies at that moment, because we already know that the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, I believe it was, that if they touched the ark of God, they would be killed. And so they had the instructions, but they didn't follow the instructions. So the ark of God was not recovered. And the Bible says in verse number 9, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, 'How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?'" Verse 10, "So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him in the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household." So the ark of the covenant was not removed and or not recovered, and it was given to or placed in the house of Obed-Edom. So word comes back to David that the house of Obed-Edom is blessed. And not just his house, but all that pertaineth unto his house. Now, I don't know the full extent of blessing, but I know that it was significant. It was significant because people heard about it. People saw it. There was something about the presence of God in Obed-Edom's house that it got word back to David in verse 12. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. In verse 12, there's also a phrase I want you to notice. The Bible says, because of the ark of God. Again, the ark of God was a symbol of the presence of God. And with the presence of God comes the power of God. So without the power and presence of God in our ministries, in our lives, we won't see anything happen. But in this passage of scripture, we understand that Obed-Edom, it's not like he said, bring the ark over here, place it here, and all of that. It was like they just dropped it off there. We can't take it any further. They put it in the house of Obed-Edom, and his house is blessed. David hears word, and David desires the presence of God. He wanted the power of God, but didn't follow the correct instructions. When it didn't go according to David's plan, it stopped him from moving forward. And oftentimes in ministry, we come up with some really good plans, don't we? I'm going to plan a big day, and I'm going to plan this, and I'm going to plan that, and all these things happen. And then nothing happens. And yet there's days when you just say, I don't even know if I'm prepared. Lord, I need your presence today. Lord, I have not had time to prepare. I'm given such a simple, basic message, and people get saved. And lives are changed. Because your dependence is not upon the program. Your dependence is on the power and the presence of God. And so it's not about, hey, do I need to come up with a new plan or a new cart or a new philosophy? It's about getting the presence of God in the rightful place and then watching the power of God move in a service, move in a time, and that's exactly what's going to take place in this passage of Scripture. Word came to David that God was blessing where the ark was. And something happened in the heart of David, I believe. And we must understand that God's not against David. He was for David. David at the time, he was afraid of the Lord, the Bible says, and he was displeased. Lord, I'm just trying to do what you've wanted me to do, where I felt you wanted me to go and how to do it and all these different things. And Lord, I'm just wanting the presence of God back because they sought it not in the days of Saul. So Saul was wicked and Saul was wrong and he didn't seek the Lord. Lord, I don't want to have that in my ministry. I don't want to have that in my life. And so David has good intentions, but he doesn't follow the right instructions. You see, the things of the Lord are not a burden, they're a blessing. And the ark of God was not a problem. It was a symbol of a promise of the goodness of God. And we need the presence of God. And David was aware of that. And he sets out again after hearing what takes place in the house of Obed-Edom. He sets out again to get the ark back. But this time, he's going to do it right. This time, he's going to make some changes in his life. You see, trying to do the work of God without following the instructions, without doing it according to the word of God, it would be like trying to assemble a piece of IKEA furniture without the instructions. If you've ever tried to do it, even with the instructions, it's terrible. But without them, it would probably be impossible. And yet so many times we come up with a plan, a program, and we miss out on the presence of God, which should have been thought about way before the plan came about. I want you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. The Word of God says in verse number 1, David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. You know, we heard last night that man needs to have be in their place, but God needs to be in his place. Verse 2, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. Skip down to verse number 12. And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel, unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of God, of the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves, whereon as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Now he's going to do things right. Because he didn't do it right the first time, there was a breach upon Uzzah. Because there was a breach upon all of them, it stopped all of their progress. It stopped all of the momentum. It stopped their song, by the way. They had a song, they had rejoicing, they had joy in their life, and all of a sudden that day happened and the song is gone. I think of that in our ministries. A lot of times when things don't go according to our plans, when things don't go according to how we think it should happen, in the time it should happen, sometimes we lose our song. We stop singing to the Lord. The Lord's still just as good, even if these days come about. Even if that day took place, the Lord is just as faithful, just as holy, just as worthy of our praise, even when things don't go according to our plan. How's everything going to work out? How could he continue to press forward after what happened? And in verse 12, he says, because of the ark of God in our text, it's only by God and his presence that we can press on. This morning, I want us to see what a difference a day can make when God is involved. When God is involved. Look at verse 12 of our text in 2 Samuel. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the trumpet. They got their song back, by the way. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. I want you to see quickly what happens when you get God in his place, and what happens, what a difference a day can make. Well, we see first of all in our text, because of God, there was blessing. In verse number 12, the Bible says this, that David was told that the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Now, I want you to understand something about this blessing. His blessing was known. They saw it. By the way, it should be noticeable in our lives when God blesses us. when God blesses our ministries and God blesses what we do and the things that we accomplish, it's not us, by the way. His blessing was known, but it is also shown. It was shown to King David. It was shown to him and what God has done. But the thought about it is this. He was not alone. His blessing was not just on Obed-Edom. The blessing was on all those that pertained to him. So when you think about it, you think about, hey, if God blesses the ministries that we have the opportunity to lead, then it's not because of us. They're going to say it's because of God. You see, when people walk into Cornerstone Baptist Church in Phoenix, they don't need to see a pastor. They don't need to see the people. They need to see the presence of God in that place. And they need to say, it's not because of him. I mean, he says some weird things and some things that are off the wall, not doctrinally, but I'll say some things and I'll like, how did that come out of my mouth? And yet, somehow God uses it. Isn't it something? That God still uses people that are people. When you look around and you see the blessing of God, you know it's not just about you, it's about others as well. And you look at the life of Obed-Edom, and you don't sit there and say, well, he was some special man. You want to know why he was blessed? Because the ark of God was in his presence. You go into a church and you'd say, well, he's not the most powerful preacher. He's not the greatest looking or whatever. And you'd say, what is his secret? What do you do to build a church? I just preach the word of God. Amen. And ask God to bless it. And all of a sudden, people start coming because they want to hear the truth of the word of God. And the truth of the word of God is what changes it. You know, when you look up that word blessed, it means to kneel or by implication to bless God. You see, when somebody walks into your facility, they shouldn't say, wow, he's a great man. Wow, that's a great choir. Wow, that's a great ministry. They should say, there's the power of God upon this place. There's a power of God. And the only thing you can do, the only thing I can do as a preacher, is we got to get down before the Lord and kneel and bless God for doing it. Because it's not going to be me. It's not going to be my ministry. Because if it's my ministry, it's never going to go anywhere. I'll sit for 3 months and wait for the power of God and the presence of God, and I'll never have it. Because I'm only going to get it when I get God's presence back in my place. Simple truth was this: Obed-Edom was only blessed because of the presence of God. Nobody looked at him and said, wow, what an amazing person. You know what they said? That the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. Well, what's he doing? He just has the presence of God. People ought to know that the only reason you're blessed is because of the Lord. Someone ought to look at your church, your family, and your ministry and say, only God could do that. That they would look at you and see the Lord. They shouldn't come to hear you preach, to see your programs. They should come to meet with God. Amen. That all glory would go to him and not you. Because of God, there was blessing. Because of God, there was gladness. Notice in verse 12. So David went and brought up the ark of God in the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with, what's the next word? Gladness. Gladness. You know, I love it when the Bible just gives you points right there. You know, it just makes it easy. You don't have to come up with some alliteration. You just preach the word of God. And here it is. There was gladness. As I thought about that, David's joy was not because of blessing. David's joy was the prospect of blessing. As I thought about this, I thought David probably hears what's happening in the house of Obed-Edom and is desiring to have that same thing happen to him and all the people that he's trying to lead. And so his mindset was probably this: I got to get the presence of God. I need the power of God. And I'm so grateful that we serve a God that he gives us another chance to do it the way it should have been done the first time, and gone to God for the first chance, the first opportunity. So you tried to come up with a program. You tried to come up with a plan, and it didn't work. I'm glad that God allows you to go back and get things right and say, God, I got your presence back. I want your power back. And David went back with gladness. God hadn't blessed him like Obed-Edom to this point. But why did he go back with blessing? Why did he go back with gladness in his heart? Because of the prospect of blessing. I think of coming down to an old-fashioned altar and getting your life right with God, and you walk up with a little bit of pep in your step saying, hey, God hasn't done anything yet, but he's going to, because I've got my place where he's at and where he should be, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Now that's the ingredients for blessing are in their place. David hears this report and he knows that God's not against them. He's for them. See, the word of God is available to us. The blessings of God are available to us. It's not God's desire to make your life and ministry miserable. Well, I'm just serving God. It's just a huge chore. No, he said, I've come to give them life and they might have it more abundantly. There's two words that we look, I've come to give them life that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Might have life means that not everybody is going to get saved. Not everybody, even after salvation, is going to have the blessing of God. It's the key word, might. If you want it, then you need the might of God in your life to do it or to have it. You see, God had already given them directions, and they should have followed those. But even when they were not followed, God still gave them another chance to get it right. Amen. That should make us glad to know that he's a forgiving God. And if you don't see the blessings of God upon your life, your ministry, and your family, you can get right with God and walk away from here with a prospect of blessing in your life. Right. Because of God, thirdly, there was sacrifice. And it was so, verse 13, that when they had bare the ark of the Lord, had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. When you read this text at the start of the journey and at the end of the journey, there was sacrificing unto God. Why did they do it right away? I tried to study it out and different things, and really I wasn't getting a whole lot of feedback, but the Lord just impressed upon me this. After six paces, David realizes God's good. He gave me another chance. So before I go any further, before we see this put in its place, we need to stop, get right with God, and thank God before we go any further. Oftentimes in our lives and our ministries, we only thank God for the big things. Oh, when we complete the job. How about at the start of the job? How about at the start of the times that we see God? How many times do we stop and bless God for his faithfulness today? How many times do we stop and thank the Lord that he's allowed me to even pastor, that he's allowed me to even serve him in the ministry? We fail so many times to thank and praise him for what he's already done in spite of my disobedience many times. He's faithful. He's forgiving. He paves the way for the future. So why the sacrifice at the end of the journey as well? How about this, to thank the Lord for what he has done? to make peace with God. They want God's presence in the future just as much as they need it right now. So when God does something great, how about you go back and think about all the times he's done something great and say, hey, I messed this one up. Hey, I can get back with God. I can do things right the next time. Hey, I'm so grateful that God's given me another opportunity to get his blessing in my life. Because of God, there was blessing, gladness, sacrifice. I want you to see finally, because of God, there was thanksgiving. Notice in verse 14 of our text, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle so that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. I'm not going to preach it today, but I do want to point out that there's some that won't like your excitement and your gladness. And it might even come from the one that should be closest to you, David's wife. I find it interesting that it's not mentioned David's wife, but Saul's daughter, because she is acting more like Saul than the wife of David. But David danced before the Lord, and the Bible says, with all his might. I'm a firm believer that what we should do with our might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We should put our all into it, but it shouldn't be all about us. It's about God giving us the strength and the power to do so. But here's David, and he's singing, and he's dancing, and he's excited before the Lord with all his might. That means with boldness. That means loud, might, power, strength, and strong before the Lord. Question. Can we say that when we come to church, even on those days or that day, that we sing praises to the Lord, we're doing it with all our might? Oftentimes I'll be singing by my wife in a meeting, because usually I'm up on the platform. I sing, you know, super loud on the platform when I'm singing for church and so forth, and she'll say, you're so loud. I said, I only know one volume. It's loud when I sing. I don't get up there and I don't sing, you know. That's what I love about this ministry here, man. You guys sing it out. I love it. Do we sing it out even on the bad days? Even on the tough days? Because remember, Brother Hardy once preached that when we sing to the Lord, he's the audience. We kind of get our feelings hurt if we don't have people with us while we're preaching. We'll get up and we'll fling her down and all these different things. We want people to be excited about it. But what about when we sing to God? Do we do it with all our might? There was shouting. The sounds of trumpets. When you go to the book of Chronicles, it talks about the singers. It was like a choir that was singing about what God had done. You knew there was a different spirit about them. They were excited about what God had done, what God was going to do, and God had given them another opportunity to make things right. I want you to turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Verse number 4. Bible says this, and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Verse 7. Then on, what's the next two words? That day, David delivered his first psalm with thanks to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. It's not about David here. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. I mean, the song continues. It doesn't even end there. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes with the presence and the power of God. Have we forgotten how good God is to us? And how many opportunities he gives us to serve him, to live for him? Sometimes we forget how much God does in our lives. What he's brought us out of. And what he wants to take us to. But it's not going to happen without the presence of God. Many of you knew I grew up in a big family. I'm one of 11 kids, number 10. I have 6 brothers and 4 sisters. When you have 11 kids in the household, there wasn't a whole lot to go around. Because we would eat all the food in the house, my dad put padlocks on the refrigerators. And so we'd only eat the 3 meals a day and different things like that. And my brother Tim, he got a job. He got a job and he would come home from work and he'd buy a pizza. And he'd be sitting on the floor eating all 8 slices in front of his brothers and sisters. Well, if you gave everybody a slice, it's gone. You wouldn't even have one. We would sit there like little puppy dogs desiring a piece of pizza. And so Tim would say, if you do my chores, if you clean my room, if you do my laundry, I'll give you the crust. To this day, I almost always eat my crust. You see, you leave it on the edge of the table, or you leave it off to the side, it's just the crust. But I remember, and I look at it now, and I can buy a pizza. I can buy multiple pizzas. I look at my kids, and they'll sit there and leave something behind. I'll say, you better finish that food. Because I know where I came from. But so many times I forget the blessing of God. That he's given us so much more than the crust. And we fail to thank him for how much he's done. And by the way, if he's done anything in your ministry, and if he's done anything in your life, it's not because of your power. It's because of the presence of an almighty God. So instead of getting a new cart, how about let's just get back to getting the presence of God? You preach every week, all you have is the presence of God. That's more than enough. You just watch God work. You'll see him come in. What do you do differently? What have you done at Cornerstone different? I get up and I preach like my pastor did for 35 years. And you see people get saved. And you see them coming to church and you're saying, what are you doing? We're just preaching. It's worked. It'll continue to work. Because with God, our theme this year, with God all things are possible. And it's without God, nothing shall be impossible if we have the Lord in our life. Let's all stand. Lord, I'm so thankful for the blessings that you give every single one of us. Undeserving. So many times we fail, and Lord, we make mistakes in our life, but you're so gracious and loving. May we once again come and sacrifice unto you and thank you for what you've given to us, what you've done through us, what you've allowed our lives to do. You did not bless David because of David. You blessed David because of the presence of God. So I pray that we'd get the presence of God back in his rightful place. That we would set up a place for you, Lord. That you're first and foremost in our ministry. That it's not about the programs or the plans that I have. Lord, I'm not against trying to reach the lost and come up with a plan. But I pray, Lord, that it's through your power and presence and your direction in our life and not because we're following someone else. I pray that we would just desire your presence in our life. Bless now this time of invitation, or however the Pastor Tid would take the service. May we do business with you if it needs to be done. We're so grateful for what we've heard this morning from the preachers before and how it's spoken to our hearts. I pray that we would do something with it today. We'll give you all the praise and glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.